coming to you from day two of virus exile in the heart of the pandemic panic zone. Time for the Steve Rivers Show. It is Wednesday, March 11, 2020, and here I am in quarantine sector 420, COVID-19 Studio B. Here are three big things you need to know right now. Number three, kids will not return to classes at Harvard, and a lot of basketball games will have nobody in the stands, all in response to COVID-19, plus the National Guard moving in New York. We'll talk about that. Number two, as the coronavirus continues to spread fear across the nation and around the world, there is good news on the medical front. Patients being cured from HIV, another virus that used to kill people. There are patients being cured. We'll talk about that. And number one, Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders both canceling big rallies in Cleveland ahead of next week's Ohio primary out of fear of, you got it, COVID-19. The two battled out in six states yesterday. Joe Biden getting the big win in Michigan, plus Idaho, Mississippi, and Missouri. Bernie Sanders winning in North Dakota and Washington State. Right now, this is the way the delegates stack up. Joe Biden, 823 delegates. Bernie Sanders, 663. But the thing that everybody's talking about is a blow-up that Joe Biden had with a union member in Michigan while touring an auto plant under construction. He was pressed by a union steward about gun control and how he expected union members to vote for him when he said he would take guns, something he refused to admit. And in fact, it turned into a profanity-laced rant from Joe Biden, focusing his anger on that union member who was singled out for his scorn. And when one of Joe Biden's handlers tried to stop the interaction, Joe Biden scornfully turned to her and said, "You hush. You shush." And he got back into it, finally taken away. Not a good look for Joe Biden at all, I'll tell you that. I want you to see it. It is bite number one. You must see this. You must hear this. Bite number one with Joe Biden from yesterday. Go.
How you intend on getting the union vote when there's a large portion of the union workers that are gun enthusiasts and you are actively trying to diminish our Second Amendment right and take away our guns?
You're full of shit.
All right, thank you.
Now, shush. Shush. I support the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment, just like right now, if you yell fire, that's not free speech. And from the very beginning, I have a shotgun, I have a 20 gauge, a 12 gauge, my sons hunt. Guess what? You're not allowed to own any weapon. I'm not taking your gun away at all. You need 100 rounds.
So when you were in beta, no, when you said you're going to take our guns,
I did not say that. That's not true. I did not say that.
It's a viral video.
It's a viral video like the other ones they're putting out that are simply a lie.
Your voice, you said that you're taking the guns.
Well, he just clarified it.
Wait. Take your AR, your AR-14s.
Okay, this is not okay.
Hold on.
All right. Don't tell me anything, pal.
There's a lot of guys.
This has to give pause to the Democrats backing Joe Biden. It has to give pause to the Democrats backing Joe Biden, that exchange, and caught in a flat-footed lie. I never said that. You certainly did. I'll take you to August 5th, 2019, among other examples, saying he will take assault weapons because they should all be illegal. Bingo, I'm going to take them. It's bite number seven with Joe Biden on CNN talking exactly about what that union worker was confronting him about. Bite seven.
Here's a simple proposition. Let's assume it's all absolutely accurate. Do we want to continue it? Does anybody think it made any sense that someone's able to walk into a gun store, buy an assault weapon that has multiple rounds, or buy an assault weapon that has 100 rounds, even though it may not, you can't point to the fact that it, in fact, had stopped it before. Do you want more of them on the street? Do we want to do that?
So to gun owners out there who say, well, a Biden administration means they're going to come for my guns.
Bingo. You're right if you have an assault weapon. The fact of the matter is they should be illegal, period. Look, the Second Amendment doesn't say you can't restrict the kinds of weapons people can own.
Should be illegal, period. Bingo. We're going to take them away. Well, it's not just that. It's also that Joe Biden said he would put Beto O'Rourke in charge of his gun control policy if elected president. He'd be the anti-gun czar with Beto O'Rourke. It's bite number five with Joe Biden talking about that with Beto. Let's look at that one real quick. Bite five.
I want to make something clear.
I'm going to guarantee you this is not the last year seeing this guy. You're going to take care of the gun problem with me. You're going to be the one that leads this effort. I'm counting on you. I'm counting on you. We need you badly. The state needs you. The country needs you. You're the best.
There you go. And so when he is confronted by a union worker who says, you said you're going to take guns away. You're full of spit, says the vice president. Not quite like that. Right back at him. And has this confrontation, but more concerning to Democrats has to be these outbursts, these train of thought issues, the inability to complete a sentence. Do you realize that Joe Biden's stump speeches are 5, 7, and 8 minutes long? That's the average. He did a long speech here recently. It was 12 minutes. People running for president don't do 5-minute speeches unless the handlers are trying very hard to keep him off the stage, to keep him out of harm's way. Now, having said that, coming up Sunday, I'll be watching closely. You should be as well. But if you don't, I'll be here to take care of it for you. In Phoenix, Arizona, Joe Biden will debate Bernie Sanders on the stage in Phoenix, Arizona, unless, of course, Bernie Sanders throws in the towel between now and Sunday, which he will not. Bernie Sanders still has a great opportunity to win this nomination if he goes and debates Joe Biden earnestly and doesn't pull punches and gets serious about the debate in Phoenix. Again, that's Sunday night coming up. By the way, the DNC says that the coronavirus will have no impact whatsoever on the debate in Arizona. We'll keep an eye on that. Speaking of the coronavirus, in Michigan, Governor Gretchen Whitmer declaring a state of emergency after two patients test positive, making Michigan the next state where the virus has been identified. And let's be honest, we know it's in every state. We know it's across the globe. Every country, every state has coronavirus to some extent. The best numbers we have to work with come out of South Korea. A couple of 100,000 people tested, 7,300 people tested positive, and a fatality rate of 0.6%. And what's unusual about this thus far, no children. No children seem to be afflicted by this virus. Unusual, but true. But that notwithstanding, schools are closing down, Harvard among those, saying don't come back from spring break. We're going to hold classes remotely, online. We'll figure that out. Other schools considering the same schools closed in New York and elsewhere. As I mentioned, in New Rochelle, New York, the governor there sending in the National Guard to surround a couple of square miles to make sure nobody goes in or out as they have a cluster of cases there. Expect to hear a lot more cases. The good news continues to be, I'll get an update from China. Don't have it yet today. China is seeing a number of cases plummet. Same is true in South Korea. Hopefully that'll be true in the U.S. sometime soon as we aggressively try to prevent the spread of this virus across the country. It's 14 after. We'll get to all of that still to come and in more detail. We'll find out what's going on in China. Quick break. When we come back, we'll have a doctor here to talk about whether or not overregulation is making the spread of the coronavirus easier in the United States. Is overregulation creating problems for us here? Dr. Roger Klein will join me here on the program to take a deeper look. Don't go anywhere. It's Wednesday, the 11th of March, 2020. From Studio B in COVID-19, this is the Steve Gruber Show. When you're young, losing money on Wall Street is a relatively minor setback because you still have plenty of time to recover. But when you get to be our age, it's a different story. We don't have the luxury of time, and a bear market now can do some real damage to your hopes for a comfortable retirement. Hey, it's Steve Gruber. Bruce Van Hall and Michael Douglas understand that. And that's why they like to design a portfolio that provides you with income, no matter what the market is doing, without sacrificing potential for growth. Don't let Wall Street dictate how you live your retirement. Talk to Bruce and Michael today about how to protect what you've worked so hard to build. Call 517-323-7526 and schedule a portfolio review today. That's 517-323-7526 or get online at MyLifePlanFinancial.com. MyLifePlanFinancial.com.
Steve Gruber was compensated for this ad. Life Plan Financial Design, Inc. is a financial services firm that offers a broad array of products and services, including insurance and annuities. Licensed in Michigan.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds. and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling three jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
Or if that resume was from someone who
worked 12-hour shifts at the recycling company with my dad, who's 72. That taught me a work ethic that I carry with me every day.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone.
Growing up where I did, a lot of things could have gotten in the way of my goals. But I learned to push through, and that's what I bring to work every day.
So maybe it's time we look beyond the resume and look to grads of life. Discover new ways to develop great talent that are so much more than what's on paper at gradsoflife.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.